Welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live today, August 31. Yes, the last day of August, 2020. I want to say happy birthday to my late friend, Bob Van Bemelen, whose 72nd birthday would have been yesterday, August 30th. Again, Godspeed to him and his family. God rest his soul. He was a great patriot, a great inventor, and just a great person, father, husband, you name it. He'll be sorely missed. He's from the Ann Arbor, Michigan area. And my guest today, actually, in a way, I have two guests. One is my sometimes co-host and guest, Ron Avery, of course. And in the second half of today's show, as was announced earlier on another show here, on RBN, my guest on the second half of today's show is none other than Ammon Bundy, of course, the son of the well-known rancher in Nevada, Cliven Bundy. And Ammon's going to kind of give his takeaway and his highlights of his recent two arrests for going to the Idaho State Capitol to seek redress of grievances and to keep at bay and to protest COVID-19 abuses by the Idaho State government. And he'll also talk about other good news concerning Judge Navarro's ruling from a couple of years ago this past January when she freed Cliven and Company from prison, federal prison, for the events stemming back to April of 2014. And so Ammon will be on the second half of today's show, as noted, to kind of highlight and build upon what I just announced. I'm just setting the table. And he'll give his takeaways, especially of his recent experience just this past week at the state government in Idaho. He's a resident of Emmett, Idaho. Anyway, Ron Avery joining me for the whole show. And Ron, how are you doing today?
Real good.
Yeah, thanks for getting with me on relatively short notice. I wanted you to be in on this with Ammon because Ammon stands on principle, and that's something that's sorely missing. We're seeing it, you know, very, very egregiously highlighted with the whole COVID-19 caper here. And I've come up with a name, kind of a moniker for someone that just won't put that mask down no matter what they're doing. They're going to sing opera. They're going to still wear that mask. They're going to get in the shower. They're still going to wear that mask. That mask ain't coming off for nothing. I came up with COVIDiot, a COVID idiot or COVIDiot, kind of a hybrid term. And if we live
in... It sounds like a disease in itself, too.
It does, yeah.
Yeah,
I was just saying, if we live in an idiocracy, as Mike Judge called a kind of parody movie that he put out several years ago, this is the COVIDiocracy.
It's well, you know, you can get gonorrhea and COVIDia.
Yes, COVIDia. Maybe that's the affliction is COVIDia, the incessant, obsessive desire to wear a mask 24/7 in the shower, in the bathtub, don't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter. You know, it ain't coming off for nothing. You know that, and maybe that's a slight hyperbole, but I've seen some that it might as well be that bad in terms of their devotion to maskhood. You know, and
absolutely.
But Ammon, when he's on the second half of today's show, we'll talk about, you know, their very practical attempts to redress grievances and to get clarity and to get the governor to end his emergency declaration, which he went past the expiration date on. He exceeded his authority on that emergency declaration. And as Ammon will explain and really, you know, get into the sinew of it, the Idaho state government just doesn't appear to be there for the people of Idaho anymore. They appear to be operating for reasons other than proper representation within a constitutional republic. And we're seeing that all over, Ron. You've written to school boards, and it turns out that Ammon has written to and attended the meetings of, I believe, the Gem County, like a precious gem, Gem County, Idaho schools. And I believe it's in Emmett, he can clarify, but even though doctors testified at the school board meeting that COVID was basically a non-issue anymore in that part of Idaho or much of Idaho, the school board still, amid all the facts and all the figures by trusted doctors in the area, the school board is still carrying on as if people are dropping dead in droves. Got to mask the kids. We, you know, we may not have school. I don't know what all their reactions or their policies are actually, Ron, but people are becoming actually impervious to facts. Even when those facts tell them everything is okay, the coast is clear. So this is the COVID tyranny that it's getting to where facts don't even matter anymore. And this is coming from doctors, trusted, known doctors.
Yeah, and what would you expect after you psych everybody out with constant pounding? The media acts like an anvil, and the people are being smashed in between the sledgehammer and the anvil 24/7 about all the new cases of COVID-19 and all of that. And then at a certain point when they said, we don't have to wear this stuff anymore, it's all resided, the people are still maintaining it because they were scared to death from it. That's what they created.
Yeah, and so it really shows that in as much as Ammon is spot on in trying to get the emergency declaration withdrawn, you know, have the legislature do that to put the executive branch in check there, and as much as we should all do that, and that's the right thing to do in any state of the union, the media still is the main enemy of the people, carrying out, against Ammon included, and many other dissidents, you might say, outright character assassinations. Every article is an avoidance of the facts, a misrepresentation of whatever data there is, no context is given, and just outright character assassination if you don't have that mask on. And we discussed the other day where KESQ here in California, where I'm visiting, Riverside County, is a CBS affiliate, Channel 3, and they've been going around, as noted, and it bears repeating, you know, going up to people and admonishing them and scolding them if they're not wearing a mask, the media adopting a law enforcement stance, a complete and utter abandonment of the whole journalistic enterprise, as we mentioned on a recent show here, Ron, on Stop the Presses. And so the media needs to be replaced in a very urgent way. And if COVID has done us any favors, it has to be all hands on deck that this media has to be completely delegitimized and replaced, and it needs to be done fast.
Absolutely. Well, as I told you this morning, I was called by my dentist to come in on Wednesday to have my teeth cleaned, and they asked me a bunch of questions about, have I had all these symptoms of COVID-19? Did I have shortness of breath or difficulty breathing? And I went through a bunch of these things and temperatures. They said, well, have you been to any places that have, any regions that have had heavy contact with COVID-19? And I said, yes. And they said, where? I said, Texas. and really, Texas is listed as a place that's had it. You can look it up, and that's a region that's had it. And she didn't even think that was funny, but it was a stupid question. The whole thing was stupid. And I got to thinking after, and then they said I'd have to sit in my car, wait for my appointment in the car, and call, you know, when I got there, and they'd call me on my mobile while I'm waiting out in the parking lot, come in with a mask on. Now, get this, what they're really doing. They're opening my mouth and playing with my teeth with their fingers and all down in my mouth, and I'm breathing all over them, and they have a little mask, one of these crummy masks, and now we've learned, too, that even surgical masks are quite questionable as to whether they prevent a spread of infection even in surgery. And in some countries, they've quit using surgical masks in surgical procedures. So we're finding out that this whole mask thing is a joke. And the idea of playing in somebody's mouth and then pretending that the mask in your car and then other people are not being exposed when the dentists are getting it all over and they're blowing it all into the air ducts. The stuff is an aerosol. I mean, it's insane. I mean, people just need to say, we ain't doing this anymore. I'm sorry. This is stupid, and there's nothing to it. One of the things I wanted to bring out, like we said, is that we've got lawyers all over this country. We got every 10th person in America is a lawyer almost, and they're all chasing these 18-wheelers around. Why don't they chase some tyrants around? People that are out there actually abusing people and knowingly abusing people, why don't they bust their butt? Why don't they sue them? Why don't they get a big bunch of people together and have a one of these class action suits for several billion dollars and sue Bill Gates and all his damn labs and for violating the law on putting a copyright, what do you call them? Copyrights, not a copyright, but you get a right to, when you make something, create something on these viruses.
Oh, patents. Yeah.
A patent. They get a patent on a virus. That's against the law. You shouldn't even be working with a virus. All these things, these people ought to be sued, and they ought to be sued clean out of existence. And that's what lawyers ought to be doing. They're sitting around. These are boring people. Lawyers are boring. They do boring, stupid stuff, trying to make a living off of people that are just trying to make a living. Why don't they go after tyrants? We've got thousands of them, and they should be busted, many of them.
I cannot agree more. You got practically all the governors, scores of mayors, city councilmen, local government representatives, and I would up to include, I would have that go up to and include media people. This is mass injury. They're talking about injury attorneys, you know, like, here, I'm Keller and Keller. If you've been hit by a truck lately, well, we have those truck companies for lunch.
Right. Our doctors. Has a doctor left a sponge in your last incision? At least these people were trying to help you. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people out there that need to be sued who ain't trying to help you. They didn't harm you by accident. They are doing it on purpose. And these people need to be busted, put in prison, and pauperized.
Yeah, that is a great point, Ron, that in as much as a trucker might be irresponsible, 9 times out of 10, that trucker did not intend to hurt or kill someone or that doctor. But these media mavens who, you know, imagine themselves as benefactors but are not licensed to do what they do and are, it cannot be demonstrably proven that they're helping anyone. If anything, it's neutral or they're hurting someone in many cases. And then you've got government people that are collaborating with the media, governors, mayors like we listed, that are demonstrably causing harm, distress, suicide, drug addiction, alcoholism, depression, divorces, all coming from the COVID crackdown. You're right. We need a law firm that says we're the Avery and Anderson law firm and we chase tyrants. I mean,
I remember seeing a big sign on the way to Houston that says we're so and so and so and so and we sue lawyers. Well, that's a good sign, but they ought to have one up there that says we sue the media. We sue mainstream media, and we sue government officials. They ought to have one like that. And we sue corporations for patents on and making viruses and then having and releasing them and then having a vaccine for them. And then, I mean, these people need to be busted, seriously busted.
Yeah, because this is...
Oh, and then when you sue them, even if you do sue them, guess what the courts do? They protect the media as if it was some kind of glorified thing, and they come up with this Texas Citizen Participation Act, which actually protects libel. major newspapers.
Yeah, and I imagine that would apply to broadcast outlets too. Yeah, the media is a very pernicious thing. Just as we have vaccine companies that cannot be sued and have protection, and we're told protectionism is bad, can't have tariffs, but they have protection if their vaccines hurt or kill somebody, so too does the media through things like the Texas Participation Act or Citizens Participation Act, so too does the media seem to have this force field around it. This has got to be brought down post-haste. I'm not talking about some long-term project. Come when I get back to Texas, we're going to carry out some very specific actions, Ron, regarding the media. Very, very, very specific.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah, it's time. And I don't really want to hear their excuses. I'm not interested in what they have to say. They've had their day in the sun, and it's done.
That's right. And they say all the time. They talk all the time. It's time for them to either put up or shut up.
That's it. Now, we do have a caller. Usually we don't get them in the first half of the show, but they're always welcome. Naturally, Nick from Montana, I hope you hung on. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how you doing? We got about 2 minutes break.
Okay, real quick, Mark, I don't know if you all heard, but a good friend of mine in Great Falls, Montana, was called to jury duty. When he went in to the jury duty, he told them he was not going to wear a mask. Well, long story short, the judge said, put on the mask. He said, no, I'm not going to wear a mask. I can't wear a mask. I can't breathe when I wear a mask. And the judge says, put it in or I'm going to hold you in contempt. Well, the judge ended up holding him in contempt, and they put him into the Cascade County Detention Center. To make matters worse, at the Cascade County Detention Center, they put him in a general holding cell that was built for 25 people, but they had almost 50 people in there, and there were known COVID-positive people in that cell. And
unbelievable.
So you guys are talking about the tyranny going on with all this wearing masks and everything. It's action needs to be taken.
I'm with you, man. That's an outrageous story. That judge, he should be busted where he never serves anything related to the public anymore.
Definitely.
Nick, can you leave, unless you can announce it on the air? I don't know if you have any qualms about that, but can you provide the name either on the air right now of that person or at least leave the name with the station privately?
Yes, I can. His name is Phil DuPaul, DuPaul, Phil DuPaul. And there's been some articles. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Spell the last name one more time.
DuPaul, DuPaul.
Okay, thank you. Phil DuPaul. Okay, go on.
Yeah, I was just saying there's been some articles published locally regarding that. And anyway, and also on Saturday, I heard a broadcast.
Hey, Nick, hang on and stick with us past the break, and we'll have you on another short segment here.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, hang on. We'll be right back after these messages.
Strangers thought that old when the fear it calls, how we drive in stylistic audacity, charge the common ground.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson. It's the 31st of August, 2020. And my co-host guest today is Ron Avery, who's on here fairly often with me. Ron and I try to be where levity and intellectualism meet, or where they collide. Try though we might. Sometimes we're not funny, but now and then we get a little humor across to lighten the load. Lord knows we need it these days. And we're talking with Nick from Montana. And Nick, you were saying before the break about Mr. DePaul. Is he still in custody? Is he still being detained, you know?
No, he was detained for 24 hours.
And then he was released. Do we expect him to have to go back to court and answer to some charges or something, to be arraigned and all that? Or
No, he was just held for contempt for a 24-hour period and then released.
That's the extent of it. Okay.
Right.
That's my understanding. Sorry. Yeah. You were going to add something before the break.
Yeah, a couple things. One is regarding that story is when he went into the detention center, he asked, and he ended up speaking with 7 different deputies at the detention center saying, please let me talk to the sheriff. Please let me talk to the sheriff. Because the sheriff the week earlier had published an article saying, you know, that in Montana, this is just a health advisory to wear masks. We're not going to be arresting people for it and all this stuff. So he wanted to talk to the sheriff. He told 7 different deputies, and they would not allow him to talk to the sheriff. Well, later, this happened last Monday, and later in the week, he was interviewed by somebody there local, and the sheriff happened to catch the story. And he ended up calling him. The sheriff is Sheriff Slaughter of Cascade County. And he ended up calling Mr. DePaul and apologizing to him that informed the sheriff of what was going on. But I just wanted to add that. And then on another note, on Saturday I heard a broadcast that they claim in Israel that Israel has developed a breathalyzer test for COVID. and that they expect it would only cost $2 to $3 per test.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's just something.
Well, I understand that these tests, what these tests are testing for is to test if you're a human being. Because what it does is detects a certain strand of DNA, which human beings have. So what I'm wondering about is the few that show up on the negative test. They're not humans, because they say now that at least 90% of these tests should report positive, because what they're looking for is a particular strand in your DNA, human DNA.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, it's all rigged to gin up the numbers as high as they can, even though deaths are so appallingly low. There's some evidence emerging. It's a little too soon to announce it, that the real COVID deaths in the entire United States might be 10, 15,000, not 170,000 or whatever they claim it is, under 20,000, in other words, which would be far smaller than a seasonal flu, and dwarfed by tobacco deaths, dwarfed by medical malpractice deaths, dwarfed by all sorts of other causes of death. And yes. So the masking is just ridiculous. Nick, thanks for the call. Last question. Do you happen to know Mr. DePaul directly or indirectly, or how I could get a hold of him, or are you just an observer of his situation?
He's a good friend of mine. If I'll leave my number with the station, and you can give us a call offline, and we can talk to you about it.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you very much for calling, Nick. That's an excellent, though depressing, story to hear. And that's going to segue into Ammon Bundy joining us on the second half of today's show. That's just, a stock and trade thing now, Ron. You know, we're concerned about everyone's health in this courtroom. I'm the judge. I have authority. You don't. You're a mere juror. A jury's supposed to be important, and you're not obeying the mask mandate. So I'll put you in a cell that's overcrowded to the tune of 2 to 1 and risk you getting sick with something. It may be so-called COVID. It could be any number of things. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, it shows they're not concerned about health at all. They're concerned about servility.
They are. This is becoming more, you hit it. That is what it's all about, is servile compliance with whatever they say. That is nothing but tyranny. That's whim. That is the very definition of tyranny, the exercise of power without authority.
And with no recourse, with no challenge to it.
Yes, yes. And even if all this stuff was real, see, what the people really don't know is that all government authority comes from the individual citizen. I don't have the authority to make my neighbor wear a mask or get a vaccine. I can get it if I want to, but I don't have authority to force them to. So how can I delegate that to my government, to force my neighbor to have a vaccine and a data chip implant and a mask? I can't do that. So where does the government get that authority? They don't have it, and that's called tyranny.
That's an excellent point. As we get into the break at the bottom of the hour, then we're going to welcome Ammon Bundy. That's the principles. That's the eternal principles that are completely overlooked by the myopic media. So we'll be right back with Ammon after this break.
Going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Stop the press. 31 August 2020, your host Mark Anderson coming to you live today. And I'm happy to announce my guest on the second half of today's show is Ammon Bundy, of course, one of the sons of the noted rancher Cliven Bundy. And his name almost needs no introduction anymore. Thanks for being on here with me, Ammon, on relatively short notice. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Before we get into the highlights and the takeaway from your ordeal recently in Idaho regarding what happened there, I talked to your mom and dad recently, just gathering information, doing my reporting work, and your mom mentioned, Carol, that you had some really good news come down amid all this, and that is that the Ninth Circuit upheld Judge Navarro's ruling. And that, I guess that was dated August 6th, but you learned about it a little later in the month. If you would, just kind of summarize that. That's great news. We want to talk about the good news, too. So,
well, they, as many of you may know, they came down on my family and then tried to destroy and take our ranch. We and the American people did not allow them to do that, stood strong, just opened against them, and then they arrested us and incarcerated us for 2 years, my entire family and many friends. So what I mean by my entire, all the men, my father and brothers. We spent 2 years incarcerated in federal detention centers, went through, major trials, and I mean that in every way of that word, but ultimately, the district judge, chief judge in Nevada, ruled our case dismissed with prejudice. And the government, and it was based on government misconduct, covering evidence, lying to the judge. I mean, there was a whole list of things, including 3,800 documents that they had withheld from us and hid and then lied about. Anyway, the judge ruled it a dismissal with prejudice, which means they were not supposed to bring it up again. The government appealed that dismissal to the Ninth Circuit, and it went to a Ninth Circuit panel of three judges, and unanimously those judges upheld Judge Navarro, the district judge's ruling, again, based upon gross misconduct from the government attorneys and law enforcement and so forth. So that's basically that in a nutshell, and that case, our case, can never be brought up again, and it's over.
That's
fantastic news, and we need a lot more of it. How many brothers, how many siblings were in there? What were their names again?
So there's four of us, and then my father, Mel, Ryan, Davey, then myself, and my dad, Cliven.
Those are the ones that were released, and that was January of 2018, I believe.
That's correct.
When she made her ruling. Yeah, that is just, man, tremendous news. We need to hear so much more of that amid this COVID tyranny that has been the topic of the first half of today's show, Ammon. And I am just elated to hear that. And let that reverberate for a minute here. That is just...
Let me ask, when did that decision from the Ninth Circuit come out?
It was, beginning of August here. So it's
pretty recent then.
Yeah. You know, I would say, to your listeners, kind of give a little bit of impact. They spent approximately $100 million trying to prosecute us.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, it was a huge, huge loss to the government, huge to the U.S. attorneys. I mean, it was a huge loss. They threw everything in they could to try to destroy my family, and they just were not able to get it done.
Well, it's only due to the tenacity and strength of your family to endure that. I think they were probably hoping you would just give up and concede to most everything. You fought it all the way till they just ran out of gas, and they started violating so many things themselves that even the courts couldn't help them.
That's exactly. The courts were not our friends, but when the exposure became so great, then they had to decide whether they were going to go down with the U.S. attorneys or not, and so they turned against them. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they did press us to basically make us break. That 2 years of incarceration, over half of that, or actually just under half of it, just under half of it, I spent in solitary confinement.
That's just unbelievable. I can't, that's called trying to break you. That's not law. And I really thank you and your family for doing it for the whole society. This is a victory for the people of America.
It really is. I appreciate your comments there, Ron. Ammon, that's my sometimes co-host, Ron Avery, if I didn't mention. We do the show together sometimes while I also do individually. And Ron's from Seguin, Texas, and he's been fighting on principle at the school board level these COVID restrictions. And I saw on your Facebook page, Ammon, where you had written to, I think, the Gem County schools or in and around Emmett, Idaho. I don't remember the exact location, but you wrote a very tight letter. Where a lot of doctors, and we'll get into your experiences in Idaho, your own experiences, your ordeal in just a minute. But again, thanks for the recap on Navarro. But you wrote to the school board, as I read, and they had doctors testify to the board saying that COVID was a minor thing, relatively minor thing, maybe not even an issue at all anymore. And they still don't want to listen, and they still want to have really stringent COVID masking rules and all that, if I follow it correctly. Care to expound on that briefly?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I've been highly involved, and the way I got involved with it is we kind of do a hybrid between public school and home school, but my boys have played football since they were in elementary. And so they, you know, are now playing football in high school. And, you know, that's part of something they do every year and enjoy and love. And this year they're saying they can't play football. They were saying that. Can't play football without a mask. So I get involved and basically get heavily involved. And, you know, if I, just as typical, it doesn't seem to matter what is logical, what is truth, what professionals in the industry say. It doesn't seem to matter. There's just this political agenda, and they're going to move forward no matter what. So I, you know, I know how to play that game now. I was forced to play it. So I began to push back politically pretty heavy. And got the community involved on a much more heightened level, and basically threatened, hey, if this is going to be a political thing, then we're going to respond to you politically because you're not listening to logic, and we're going to start protesting at the high school. We're going to start, demonstrating even at the games, at your homes, everything. And they finally backed off enough. You know, they basically finally backed off enough and said, okay, we're not going to require masks for football. Or on the bus or any of that stuff. And now our community is really, our community is kind of really grabbing on to that. And today was the first day of school, and I have reports that about 3/4 of the students, are not wearing masks and refusing to wear masks, and even though it's mandated at school. So, I think we've done a little bit of good here in this little town.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I got that right. Is that Emmett Schools in Gem County?
Correct. Emmett School District in Gem County. That's correct.
Gem, like a precious gem. G-E-M, I believe.
Correct. G-E-M. Yeah. That's correct. Yep.
Wow. Fantastic.
And the pressure they're getting, and this is what, is always bothering to me. They're getting pressure from above, from the state, from the governor's COVID task force, from the FDA, come from the White House. They've actually been called by, listen to this, it's almost as hard to believe, by Dr. Birx from the White House. A level of just basically pressure from the top is tremendous on these little health districts and these school boards and the county commissioners. It's tremendous.
Yeah, and I'm getting tired of people that are saying that Trump and the administration, they're not really fully behind this and all of that. Well, where's all this coming from then? I mean, it is coming from the top.
It is coming directly. I know for a fact I've got direct evidence and direct witnesses that have been in communication with the White House here in our little community. It's just almost as hard to believe. But what has happened is, since these federal funds have been released and the state and the health districts have signed these contracts in order to get that money, well, they also had to sign memorandums of understandings that they would comply in certain ways. And so when the people push back and say, hey, we're not going to allow this to happen in our community, these school boards, these health districts, and the state all say we have to. So they start putting this tremendous amount of pressure on them, and we're all going, well, what is this for? None of it makes sense. It's simply for that federal dollar, and that came from the White House.
Yep. I didn't know it was that bad like that. I didn't know it was that direct, but it makes sense.
The old saying, accept nickel, you accept the state's news.
Yep.
That's exactly right. And anyway, it's a lot more involved than most people think. And it's frustrating to me. It makes me upset about, with President Trump, because this is the mover and the shaker of what is happening in our states. And one more example of that is Governor Little, in order to get those funds, and he's received, we know, close to $2 billion in the state already. In order to get those funds, Yeah, and he's even thanked President Trump in open letters for the funds. And in order to get those funds, he had to put our state in a state of emergency, and he did it on the very day, which was March 13th, that the first rollout of those funds were available. And he had to do that in order to, you know, he had to put our state in a state of emergency in order to qualify for those funds. And we only had one COVID death in the state, and most likely that death was misreported.
So it's just it's bribery. It's federal bribery of the states to go along with this scam.
Well, yeah, and they have to sign. That's what people have to understand. They, in order to get these funds, they have to sign a contract that they will comply. And those contracts are called typically memorandums of understanding, MOUs, meaning you understand that you will comply in this way. And if you understand that, then we will fund you. We will give you these funds. And it is literally putting the states into undue obedience.
Wow, that makes sense. That explains what why I don't understand why these states are doing it. They've actually signed contracts with the feds to put their state in this condition in order to get the money.
Yeah, it doesn't excuse it, but it does explain it. And Ammon, moving on a little bit, it would be amiss not to at least touch on the highlights and some of the takeaways from your recent experiences when you were, I believe, this past Tuesday and Wednesday. First of all, this past Monday, a week ago today, I think it was, you went to the legislature. Correct me if I get any days or dates wrong. And you had one almost incident-free day. But then on Tuesday and Wednesday, on each of those days, you were arrested and bailed out. And you had been there because of the emergency declaration. And I believe the state legislature was considering, according to your father, Clive, and some sort of legislation that would basically shield the state from liability regarding the COVID crackdown. I don't know every nook and cranny, but I know that you're out free now, of course, but you went through quite an ordeal. You were in a cold cell a couple of times, I think the same cell twice, and kind of give us the highlights of that and some of the takeaways from that. You know, what lessons were learned maybe, or what to look out for.
Yeah, so to kind of recap it, the governor put us in emergency, put us under emergency executive order, and we're still under that order today. He did it March 13th and then excelled that order on March 26th, and we're still under that order today. Well, what they're finding out is basically that this COVID thing was not really anything to justify the amount of force and the closures of businesses and churches and, you know, locking people down and, you know, arresting people for being in public parks and all of that. They're finding that all of that, you know, was unjustified. And so now what they did is they created the governor called for a special session where they were trying to pass bills, and actually did pass one of them, to make the government immune to any legal action that the people would go against them on when it comes to these COVID matters. So they basically don't want to be accountable for any of their decisions that they've made over the past six and a half months.
Whoa.
Well, we as a people disagreed with that. And so we went to give our voice there at the Capitol building when they were starting their this special session. And we go into the House floor. And they try to keep us out. They literally have Idaho State Police guarding the door to the House floor and to the gallery. And it's, you know, the people are just tired of this kind of stuff. And so they began to, you know, really voice their displeasure with what was going on. They started to get loud. They started to push their way towards and into the door. And there was a pretty much like a pushing match between the Idaho State Police and the people. And ultimately, we pushed our way into the gallery. And they kind of consented to that. Speaker of the House came up and said, okay, let them in. We all came in, and everything was peaceful. Everything was great that day. We participated in the process. There was, you know, witnesses in the committee meetings and all of that. I mean, it wasn't all perfect, but it was happening, and the rooms were clear full of people. And then the next day, make a long story short, there was a committee meeting. I was there, but I was in the back of the room. Everything seemed like it was going to go proper. The committee meeting started, and the committee chairman, after Sergeant at Arms was whispering in his ear, he told the independent media that they can't be in the press box. And when they began to stand up and say, hey, look, we have a right to be here, we're the press, they actually had their credentials, immediately ISP came in and arrested them. And the people were just so upset about that. And I kind of took it upon myself to make a point, and I went down and sat in the press box, and I sat there for a couple hours. And then they literally brought the entire ISP and Boise Police Department, surrounded the entire Capitol building with well over 100 officers and over 100 cars, police cars, SWAT teams. And then they came into the committee room, surrounded me, and basically arrested me, drugged me off, took me to jail, booked me for trespassing. And I sat there for a little while, and someone bailed me out. And then the next day, I went home, slept in my own bed that night, and the next day, I felt it was, again, important enough that I participate. So I went to the Senate side this time, because now it was going into the Senate. And I was sitting in the Senate floor gallery, and they surrounded me again, arrested me again. Anyway, they abused me pretty bad that time, and I spent about 24 hours in a freezing cold cell where they wouldn't give me anything to sleep on. Ultimately bailed out then, and the session ended. They passed the immunity bill, and now the people have to deal with it.
Unbelievable. See, this ties into exactly what we were talking about before you came on, talking about suing these people for the tyranny and the damage they've done to the country over this fake virus threat thing. And what are they doing? They're scared. They know that. So what do? They throw up the shield of immunity. They're starting to pass laws for immunity. That's just absolutely criminal. And then arresting people for trying to do the right thing and have their representatives do the right thing. And they're arresting them and throwing them in jail. I mean, this is just, it's outright tyranny out of control.
That's exactly right. I mean,
This ain't going to get better by ignoring it. People better start standing up and saying, the government doesn't have authority to do this, and I'm not complying. And I believe that if enough people start doing that, the whole society will say, well, you know, that is true. And the only way to find out how much power the people have is if enough of them exercise their own rights.
That's exactly right. I would note that the evidence that Ammon cited early on his appearance that about the school district where school started today, that's a small example that if you get enough initiative and passion behind it and get the facts out, you can bring about those changes. It can happen. And then, of course, we have the good news about Judge Navarro's ruling being upheld. So it's not all bleak, but it certainly is very, very troubling. Ammon, we've got about two or three more minutes. That was Mr. Cheney's committee, right? I think Gregory Cheney.
Correct.
He was the chairman. Yeah, I looked up that committee. And that jail you were in, just so we all know the facts, was that Ada County, ADA?
Correct, Ada County, yep.
Wow, interesting. Is the sheriff there a constitutional sheriff, or is he one of those sheriffs that's drank the Kool-Aid, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that, to be honest. I know the captain of the you know, Jill came and spoke to me. I did actually, to be honest with you, got a good spirit from him, but he had gone home, and I don't know if he knew what happened, but just kind of a quick little story that'll, you know, probably bring this all home. I was freezing in there. They knew it. It was intentional. I had no, you know, warm clothing and no shoes or anything, and they had cranked the AC very high. And they kept saying that if you'll comply to us, then we'll give you something warm that you can, you know, have or something you can lay on. And ultimately, they actually even opened the window so I could see the cell next to him. And then while they give him a big bedroll and a pad, and they said, see, this guy complies to us, so therefore he can have something to keep him warm. And until you comply to us, you won't get it. And that's just kind of the attitude I think it's telling all across the country.
That's flat-out extortion. That's physical extortion.
It is, and it's the definition of torture, meaning if you will obey us, then we will stop your suffering. That is
COVID thing is. Actually, that's what the whole damn thing is, nothing but that.
That's what my point, that is exactly the point I wanted to make. It's not just happening to me in a cell. It's happening across this entire country. Basically, if you will comply, then we will allow you to live your life. We'll allow you to go back to work. We'll allow you to go back to school. That's what this is all about, and that's why it must be fought against.
We'll allow you to buy food. I mean, they actually will withhold food from people if you're not wearing a mask that wouldn't keep out anything, really. I mean, these masks are all just trinkets made in China, you know.
Well, that's a very revealing story you told. Thank you.
Yeah, they wanted you to endure a full body search for mere alleged trespassing, right? A full body search. Why would that even be mentioned?
Not only to that, they actually said because they're doing video arraignments now with the judge, and they said that they would not take me to a video arraignment unless I went through that strip search and got in their jail clothing. And so they're actually denying me the due process that belonged to me.
Yeah, not just denying you a warm bed, but denying you your due process that's a God-given right. Wow.
Yeah, a great example of what's happening to all our rights across the country, and people need to wake up. They better wake up. This is something that is very real and something that has been already happened in history multiple times.
Thanks, Ellen and Bobby, for being on the show. I have the Telltale Music telling me time is up. Thanks, Ron Avery, for joining me and co-hosting today.
Thank you.
And we'll try to have you on another time. There was good news mixed in with some of the dire news, but it's all very informative and educational. And stay tuned for the next show here on republicbroadcasting.org, everyone. And we'll see you later and next time on Stop the Presses. I'm Mark Anderson. Have a great day, everybody.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.